Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome our listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba to the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Today's date is the 6th of Rabiul Akhir, 1443, corresponding to the date 11th November 2021. We continue with our topic, and that is the marriage series. Listeners can send in their queries to 084-786-3132. If you're in a foreign country, you'll type in +27847863132. We have our Honorable Mufti Sapia. Mufti Sapia, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Maulana Zaid Khan. Jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Sapia, today we'll be discussing about mahar. So Mufti Sapia, what is the meaning of mahar?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, today is the 6th of Rabi'ul Akhir, 1443. We welcome the listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The word mahar you will not find in the Quran Sharif, but the Quran Sharif refers to it and alludes to it in Surah 4, Chapter 4, Surah Nisa. And verse 4, Almighty Allah states, وَآتُ النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْلَةً. And you, the husbands, you must give your wives, wife or wives, صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ, that is the gift and that is the charity of nihla. So nihla means a gift which you give wholeheartedly. So therefore, we have to pay. One day we had a seminar and, you know, on marriage, and now we're continuing with the series of marriage and nikah. So today mahar, muhur will be the plural. So one baji, one old man asked me, why must we men pay the mahar? So I looked at him and said, baji, old man, no pay, no play. So remember that. So why should we pay this mahar? Look at the wife, your wife, my wife, anybody's wife. So remember the sacrifice they made. They're leaving their parental home where they were living with the parents. They're leaving the place of their birth, their siblings, all the sacrifices they are making to spend the remainder of their life, inshallah al-Aziz, with the grace and mercy of Allah, with a husband. So, and we must give her something as a sense of security also. Therefore, this mahar will be determined by the wife as well. Obviously, she can't be asking some crazy amount, 100 Ferraris or 100 Cadillacs or something. So it must be something reasonable for the husband also to pay and so forth. So it will be then mutually agreed upon in cash or kind. So basically, the reason why we pay the mahar, one is it is mentioned in the Quran Sharif, Surah 4, Chapter 4 in the Noble Quran, verse 4. Second one is in the Ahadith Mubarakah. We find about mahar in so many Ahadith, special chapters and so forth, like Mishkat Sharif. And then third one, remember, it's a sense of security for her that she's making so much sacrifice and so forth. The husband could pass away, the husband could divorce her, so many things could happen, war breaks out, as you see nowadays, lockdown and so forth. So at least she has some form of income and so forth and so on. So therefore Islam places great emphasis on giving the mahar to the lady, and it will be determined by the lady initially, and then both parties will reach a mutual agreement, and then the day of the nikah, as we mentioned last week, that how to perform the nikah. So the boy, the groom will be there, the representative of the bride will be there, the two male witnesses will be there, the wali of the girl, meaning the guardian, is preferable he is there, otherwise he must just give permission, and the presiding officer, the maulana, the imam, the sheikh, the mufti, hafiz sahab, qari sahab, whoever is performing the nikah, and then you will tell them that, okay, give the mahar and to the bride's representative, and then he in turn, the father or the brother or whoever it is, so he will then give it to the bride. So that is what normally happens when we come to the practical aspect of it. How will the mahar be given to the lady who is getting married?
Mufti Sahib, who determines the amount of mahar to be given?
Yes, I just mentioned this now. So you must remember that that is the lady, that she will be the one. She must consult, you must remember, with her parents and so forth and so on. Now, I want you, the esteemed listeners, that you should make notes of this here. So today when people ask mahar, then there's a term we use normally, and you will see it's very famous, especially in the Indo-Pak region, South Africa, UK, and all these places, where they are Indian Muslims, basically. We call it Mahare Fatimi, more out of love and respect for Sayyida Fatima, radiallahu ta'ala anha. Otherwise, Mahare Fatimi, you must remember, if you go and analyze Habibuna Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's honorable wives, they also receive the same amount, approximately. You know what is the Mahare Fatimi. If you take Nabi alayhi salatu salam's other daughters, Sayyida Zainab, Sayyida Ruqayya, Sayyida Umme Kulthum, they also receive the same amount. So how do we determine, you must remember, that what is Mahare Fatimi? That is of paramount importance. So 1531, remember that, easy way to work it out. 1531, so 1531 grams of silver. So what is the current market value? So nowadays you will see it fluctuates between 18,000, 17,000, around there. So it can fluctuate according to the price and so forth. So let's just say you must remember $1,200 or so, $1,100 and so forth. So that will give you an idea, US dollars we are speaking about, not Zimbabwe dollars, obviously. So you must remember, so that will be, so how do you work it out and calculate it? That is Mahre Fatimi. So that is there. So that is, you must remember, the normal amount. Nowadays, when we perform, I mean, last week Friday also I performed the nikah, and then previously, so many nikahs, ulama and people perform and so forth. So in a case like that, and they want suggest, so we tell them whatever you want to give, it's fine, but preferably give Mahre Fatimi. So if they don't want to give it in cash, 18,000 rand, South African currency, or for example, 1,200 US dollars, then you want to give it in a Kruger coin. For example, now the coin costs 20,000 rand or 25,000 rand, so it's fine. It can be more also, so that's fine, there's no problem with that. Because we must remember in Quran Sharif, Surah 4, verses 20-21, Almighty Allah addresses this issue. وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا, and you gave your wives قِنْطَارًا. قِنْطَارًا means الْأَمْوَالُ الْكَثِيرًا. So that lady said, fine, I will marry you. You must give me 1 million rand. You must give me 1 million dollars. So today you find people in the Arab countries, they ask for crazy amounts, you must remember. It is permissible, but it is frowned upon. Remember, to ask such exaggerated and such, you understand, you know, extravagant amounts and such crazy amounts, so it will be acceptable. Not that it's haram, but it's not something encouraged. Therefore, I use the word is frowned upon, is discouraged. Marriage must be such that everybody must have access to it. If we're going to say that the going rate nowadays is million rand, so how many people can afford it? How many people will get married? And therefore, you find in the Arab countries, they're sitting with this problem there. Then the government has to assist them and so many other issues. So we will say, easy, 1531 grams of silver, the current market value, so that will give you, you must remember, the price of Mahre Fatimi. And day to day, hour to hour also, it can fluctuate and go up and down.
Mufti Sahib, if the husband divorces, can he take back the mahar?
This is another big problem in our society. You must remember that now the marriage, the day they got married, everything was hunky-dory, everything was fine, and so forth. Then you must remember that there was a big fight between husband and wife, or between daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, or between son-in-law and father-in-law, and then the in-laws became outlaws, and so many problems happened, and so forth. Then the boy, that is the husband or ex-husband, or you must remember his family, they say, now we want the money back, we want the gifts back, we want the jewelry back, all that. Quran Sharif, Surah 4, Chapter 4, Surah Nisa. Before that, Surah 4, verse 19, Almighty Allah already addressed the husbands, all of us, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, that you must treat your wives, remember, with respect, with love and justice and so forth. The easy example and barometer I give is this, and every husband should use it. Let's see, whether we have daughters or we don't have daughters, but we should assume and imagine and think that how we want our son-in-law to treat us, our daughter, so you must remember, so how we want our son-in-law to treat our own biological daughter, treat your wife better than that, then you're doing a good job. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. That's chapter 4, verse 19. So chapter 4, verse 20, 21, Almighty Allah addresses this issue. Now you gave your wife talaq, okay? So when you gave your wife talaq and divorce and so forth and so on, then you, the husband or husband's family, فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. You, mashallah, Mawlana, you studied Arabic and so forth. So look at the words properly. فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. Do you know what it means? النَّكِرَةُ فِي سِيَاقِ النَّفِي تَدُلُّ عَلَى الْأُمُومِ, which means when you have a common noun and it is preceded by a negation, so then it comes and gives a general connotation. So the meaning will be, when you, the husband, you gave your wife, you must remember this talaq and divorce, Allah forbid. Now you want to demand that she must return the mahar or the gifts or the presence. So Allah is saying, فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. You cannot take from her even 1 cent, even one pie you can't take from her. Totally haram. Allah is using very strong words. Surah 4, verse 21, أَتَأْخُذُونَهُ بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. Are you taking it back? Do you want it back? بُهْتَانًا. And now you are casting allegations and making all wild accusations against her. Well, ithman mubina, it's a manifest, major, major sin. Allah is using sirai ta'ajjub, the word of surprise, astonishment, amazement. How can your husband be so low and you want to take it back? وَقَدْ أَفْضَىٰ بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. You deflowered her, you used her, you had your enjoyment with her, and when you got married to her, it was not buying a car or a computer or a cell phone or something. وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْكُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. It was a solemn pledge where Almighty Allah's name was taken, where there were two witnesses. So all this, so absolutely haram it is. You men need to wake up, and the in-laws also, you must remember, that is the parents and family of that ex-husband. Totally haram. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, Al-aidu fi hibatihi kal-kalbi ya'udu fi qay'ihi. When a person gave a gift, so whether it's a mahar, whether it's a marital gift, that the translation of mahar as dowry is not a good translation for us as Muslims. Therefore, the correct translation would be marital gift. Wa'atun nisa asadukatina nihla. Dowry has a Christian connotation in it. So therefore, sometimes you see ulama and people, even in a nikah book, and that is written, a nikah register, that dowry is not a good idea. That anyway, so that just came in by the way. So yeah, Habibuna Rahmatullil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, when you gave a gift, the giftee, the recipient, took it, has it in possession, then an argument ensued, matter turned sour, and now you say, give it back, give me back my book, give me back my pen, give me back the money, give back the clothing, all that haram. Why? Al-a'idu fi hibati, the one who takes back the gift and the present, kal-kalbi ya'udu fi qayhi, is like the dog, that when the dog vomits, and then the dog goes and lick that vomit. Can you imagine? So therefore, O people, ittaqillah, fear Almighty Allah, Jalla wala. Now I'm starting something else, which is all mentioned in the Noble Quran. So you must remember this, that what we must do, and what happens, and so forth and so on. It's a bit of a lengthy chapter, but it's something important to answer. Scenario number one, Mona Zahid Khan got married to Mrs. Zahid Khan, to his wife Fatima Zainab Jamila Aisha, whatever. Right? And he said that the mahar will be 10,000 rand. So you must remember that. So now, mashallah, you paid the 10,000 rand, you married, mashallah, you got children, so everything is fine. When I got married, Maulana, so mashallah, so the mahar I paid was 41 rand. You understood? So I had no money in my pocket, first of all. So I was going there, my uncle brought me in a van, you know. His Mercedes was parked in front and the van behind. He told me, let me move. I said, uncle, just maso. I said, maso, mandivaro, just leave that, we go with the van. So we went with the van and all that. He felt very surprised, you know. It was in Spingo Beach. So anyway, we went with the van and that. My father was there in the other car. So when I was walking, my father asked me, you got money for mahar? So I said, no. So he gave me 40 rand, you see. So then he took the 1 rand out and he spent it, you see. So catch this also. So make odd number. So 41 rand. So mashallah, so we gave 41 rand mahar. So mashallah, after that, we paid a lot of mahar after that. But I'm just saying that time what happened. So now, that is the mahar that you paid and so forth. So what Allah's help, Allah's mercy, Allah's favor, hada min fadli rabbi. So now you consummate your marriage, everything is going on and fine. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. So that is one scenario. Now we come to second scenario. Now the mahar is mentioned, okay? So we just take 1,000 rand to make it a round figure, right? So when the husband, he said he will pay 1,000 rand. But now when he and his wife were alone, before he could even, you understand, consummate the marriage and touch his wife or whatever it was, you know, the big argument ensued between he and his wife and so forth. So yeah, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala speaks of this in the Noble Quran. And this is in Surah 2, Chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, and verse number 237. So 237. See, I read for you. وَإِن طَلَّقْتُمُوهُنَّ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن تَمَسُّوهُنَّ. So you gave her talaq before you touched her, before you went into khalwa and privacy and kissed her and all that. So nothing, you understand? It means before all that, the nikah took place. After that, the one gasket blew and both parties started fighting. The husband, like a madcap, like a crazy person, he gave his wife talaq. Now remember, the mahar was fixed. وَقَدْ فَرَدْتُمْ لَهُنَّ فَرِيدًا. So you already fixed the mahar, but you didn't really touch her, you didn't make khalwa, you didn't consummate, nothing. So what must you pay now? But you divorced her. So Quran Kareem states, فَنِصْفُ مَا فَرَدْتُمْ. So of the 1,000 rand, you must pay 500 rand. So that will be the fatwa, the verdict. So 500 rand, you will still have to pay. Why you gave a talaq and divorce and all these type of things there? So you must remember. But see Quran, what is teaching us. That you issued the talaq, you wrote it out, you uttered it and so forth. So best for you is that you give the full amount. وَأَن تَعْفُوا أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. So fatwa, you pay half. Taqwa, you pay full amount. وَلَا تَنْسَهُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. If every couple could only understand this verse, that don't Don't forget the bounty, the grace, the favor which Allah bestowed upon you. I made million mistakes in my marriage, so our wife got shortcomings and all these type of things. But Allah's fadl comes, Allah keeps us together and so forth. So therefore, learn to spend on your wife. See, if you just therefore in my nikah, even now, the last week Friday, we were there in Durban, Yusuf Day, mashallah, Ahmed Day's nephew, Aslam Day's son, got married to the Randeri girl, you know, Masiha Randeri. So I mentioned it there. I said, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, authentic hadith in Bayhaqi, tahaddaw tahabbu. Keep gifts to one another. Without your wife asking or expecting, just give her my poppy, my darling, my honey, take the money. You see, like that. So, wala tanstahaddaw tahabbu. It will generate mutual love. فَإِنَّ الْهَدِيَّةَ تُذْهِبُ الدْوَغَائِنِ. That when you give the gift, then it removes the malice, the rancor, the turbulence, mix up all this kind of thing. So it's a wonderful, beautiful way. Rahmatul Alameen is teaching us. So in a case like that, the mahar was fixed, and remember that the talaq took place. So give half, that is fatwa. Give total amount, that is taqwa. You see? So that. So how many scenarios we got, Maulana? Two. Third one, this person got married. You understood? Now this happens sometimes to me also. We, this morning, alhamdulillah, all of you should listen to this afternoon's repeat between 3 and 3.30. Subhanallah, it was breaking news. We were one of the first radio stations in all of South Africa to break the news, alhamdulillah, on the airwaves regarding the Moti children, 10 past 4, quarter past 4 this morning. And then, mashallah, after that, the two people, you know, brother, white couple, one of the husband and wife from Melbourne, Australia. So they were so impressed and happy with the South African Muslims. They were listening to the radio and so forth. And today their departure, today or tomorrow, and they said that we must embrace Islam before our departure. And they said we must choose the name. So we chose the name with Allah's help and mercy for the husband Abdullah and for the wife Amatullah. So Allah Ta'ala make it easy for them also. Allah take them back safely and they can become roving ambassadors of Islam. So anyway, the point I make, so all of you should listen to it. It was very touching moments, alhamdulillah, that we had one Bishara and one Bushra and so forth. One great tiding after the other. Now, that sometimes we make people Muslims, right? So the boy is there, the girl is there, the non-Muslim, there's that, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. Now I tell them that, okay, before I perform the nikah, I said, Konalo Mali, you got money? He said, no Mali. So I said, all right, I'll perform the nikah and 100 rand, 500 rand, whatever, I'll pay for it. It's all right. You understand? So it's his nikah, but I'm paying the mahar. You understood? So sometime in life it happens like that. Therefore, Mona Zaid, you must keep money before. Sometimes it's not your mahar, it's other guy's mahar, but you must pay. You understood? So it happens like that. Now see, third scenario. This Mota, the husband, he got married to this wife, right? Then you must remember they consummated the marriage, all these type of things, and so forth and so on. Now, then the marriage didn't sour. So in a case like that, what will happen? They gave talaq. But there was no mahar mentioned. So from here we deduce one lesson that even if the mahar is not mentioned, the nikah is still valid. You got it? Even if the mahar is not mentioned, the nikah is still valid. But now you, the husband, that you enjoyed yourself and everything with that lady. See, let me explain one more masla. You know, in Islam, the wife can say that till you don't pay mahar, till then you're not going to sleep with me. In this sense, you're not going to consummate the marriage with me. Mamnu ud-dukhul. Entry denied. No entry. She's got that right Islamically. You must remember that. That not after 2-3 times, then she says, no. From the start, that she says, you pay the mahar, cash or kind, whatever we agreed on, and you pay that, then you can consummate the marriage. But till you don't pay, I'm not going to fulfill your conjugal rights. So Islam has given her that right as well. So we should understand Islam, tafaqquh fi deen. We must know what deen is teaching us, Islam is teaching us. So in this case here, the no mahar was stipulated. They didn't know or whatever. And remember, they slept. Nikah was performed, everything done. So the nikah is valid, there's no question. Subsequently, then the husband gave talaq, Allah forbid. Now what? So in a case like that, we have a term called mahre mithal. What we call it? Mahre mithal. In that town, in that city, in that time, you don't go work with 60s and 70s now. So what is the current market value, the current rate, the going rate for a lady this age and in this family? That what is the mahar? So that is, so we will say a Kruger coin, for example. So that is the going rate. So this husband will have to give her that Kruger coin or 18,000 rand or something. Or maybe it's 5,000 rand. So then he has to give. So what you call that? Mahre mithal. So remember, because he enjoyed himself with his wife, he took benefit from her, all that. Then he issued talaq. It don't mean the mahar will be sakit and waived off. No, he still has to pay. But the mahar is not mentioned. So what must he pay? Mahre mithal. So that is that at that place, in that town, in that city, what is the urf? What is the norm? You must remember that a husband normally pays. So you pay that amount there. So in South Africa nowadays, we'll say 5,000, 10,000, 18,000, like that. So you must remember, depending which town and city and so forth and so forth. So we got the third scenario. Now we go to the fourth scenario. So what is the fourth scenario? The fourth scenario is that the mahar is not mentioned. Mahar mentioned, you enjoyed yourself, marriage continuing, you pay full amount. Mahar mentioned, you did not sleep with your wife, you was no touching, nothing, all that, you divorced her, half the amount. Third one, mahar not mentioned, and you enjoyed yourself, you slept with her, you fulfilled the conjugal rights, you deflowered her, everything. So there you pay mahar, mithal, the going rate, the normal mahar. Fourth scenario, what will be the fourth scenario? Quran says, Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse number 236. So, the mahar is not mentioned, and the husband did not touch her. So both places, no, no. Mahar, not mentioned. Husband did not consummate the did not go into khalwa, privacy, nothing. I read Surah 2, verse 236. La junaha alaykum. There's no sin upon you, the husbands and so. In talaqatumun nisa. If and when you gave your wife a talaq, is last resort, obviously. Ma lam tamassu hunna. You did not even touch her. You did not spend time with her in khalwa, you did not deflower her, nothing. Aw tafridu lahunna farida. Aw tafridu lahunna farida means ma lam tafridu lahunna, and you did not fix for her the mahar. So the mahar, the marital gift, was not stipulated, nor did you go and sleep with her, deflower her, spend her privacy, nothing, and you divorced her. Something happened, argument, you know, people go mad and so forth. So he gave. So in a case like that, Quran says, Surah 2, verse 236, وَمَتِّئُهُنَّ عَلَى الْمُوسِئِ قَدَرُهُ وَعَلَى الْمُقْتِرِ قَدَرُهُ. You must pay mut'ah. This mut'ah term, which is in the Quran Sharif, in the Sunnah Mubarakah, got nothing to do with the Kuffar Shia. Their mut'ah is prostitution. Khomeini, la'anahullah, you must remember, wrote in his book, Tawdi'ul Masail, that you, which I have by me, that you can make mut'ah prostitution for 1 hour. That alone is enough to make them non-Muslim. There's 101,000 other reasons, but that alone is enough to make them. When I challenge them, debated them, not one could give an answer. I asked them, somebody wants to sleep with your daughter for 1 hour. Can we make muta? We get somebody. You say, then you see how the color changes and all that. You understood? So they like to make muta with others, but when it comes to their family, no. So they promote prostitution. Remember that. It's 100% prostitution. So the term is the same, but the connotation and meaning is totally different. So what is the meaning? Now look at the beauty, the glory of Quran Sharif. See, I read again, Surah 2, verse 236. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala states, وَمَتِّئُوهُنَّ عَلَى الْمُوسِي قَدَرُهُ وَعَلَى الْمُقْتِرِ قَدَرُهُ. So now the husband, he didn't fix the mahar, he didn't sleep, argument took place, he gave his wife divorce and so forth and so on. So he still has to give something, he has to give muta. If he's a rich person, according to his wealth and richness. He's a poor person, according to his, you understand, rank and status, he must pay. That is the meaning, alal musi qadaruhu wa alal muqtiri qadaruhu. That we will look at your wealth. So he's a rich person, so now he must give his wife a nice clothing, nice, you understand, shoes, nice dress, nice dress, a proper outfit, you see. And so, see the beauty of Islam. That at the time of separation, you must give her that gift, is wajib, compulsory. When the mahar is not mentioned, and when you did not go into privacy, and so it's wajib, compulsory. And in other times, remember also, you should give gifts and presents, but it's not compulsory, is mustahab. The Islamic system is that the marriage did not work out. You don't have to be cursing one another. The families don't have to go to court and swear that things did not work out. Take all this gift, soften the blow. I am to blame, you to blame, and so forth. So in that way, they separate. You don't take your dirty linen and go wash it in public. Now you show me any religion will teach you something like that. No one. And then if that person is poor, so he must just buy a dress or whatever, your izar and scarf and dopatta, we call dopatta scarf, and give 500 rand, 1,000 rand, the rich guy 5,000, 10,000 rand, like that. So according to your circumstances. So the lesson we learn from here is what Quran says, فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ. Even if you gave talaq, and you gave one talaq or two talaq, two divorce, raj'i, revocable, and you take your wife back, so you must remember that, keep her with love and equity. You made mistake once, so don't go make mistake second time now. أَوْ تَسْرِيحُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ. Oh, you're releasing her. You don't have to swear and curse her and so forth and so on. So Quran Sharif is teaching us in Surah 2, verse 229. Oh, tasrihun, release her bi ihsan, with beauty. So beauty means what? You give her the muta, the presents, the gift and all. Apologize. Yes, it was my fault also. So yeah, we just blame. She will blame the husband. Husband will blame the wife. And then when the in-laws, father, in-law, mother-in-law, outlaws get involved, then is a big war going on. The neighbors will hear, and the FNBs and the Greek and Chinese words, everything will come out. See what Islam is teaching us. So therefore, you must remember this. See today's world. Statistic today. Therefore, I say, all these man-made systems is not worth the paper on which is written. See, if a boss, there's a big company, 1,000 employees and so forth and all. So he, the big boss, the chairman, the CEO, the president, whatever, he fired one guy. That is it. So what today's world will tell you, even South Africa, they will say, okay, you fired this person, so now you have to give him 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, whatever the law is, wages and so forth and so forth. But you see from where they took it. From Islam. They must remember. But Islam said you do it as a duty. There is not as a duty. Their people will only do it because it is imposed upon them. Zameen Asman ka farq hai. Al farqu baina Sara wa Suraya. In Islam, the husband will do it because he knows this is what my Allah commanded me to do. My Nabi Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded me to do. See, we pay zakat. We will pay zakat more. But when it comes to taxes, we try and avoid and evade, because it's man-made. And we know all the corruption and all that it goes on. So when it comes to Islam, so remember, these are avenues that are totally overlooked when divorce takes place. They just swearing and cursing one another. But Islam teaches us, at all times, you, O ex-husband, give your wife, give it to your ex-father-in-law, and them say, give her this, give her this. I know of some great great people. Taqdeer was such, you must remember that they divorced their wives, but 5 years, 10 years, so many years have passed, still they are paying. Islam don't say you have to pay, but out of the goodness of their heart, they still give their wives. So that is what we must learn. So even when things go pear shape, you know, we say in English, things go sour. So you must remember, Islam is teaching this. So when we discuss about mahar and marital, we need to know all these four scenarios that I broke down for you now, so that you understand what Islam is really teaching us about.
We return back to this program. The next question is, Mufti Saab, can a wife forgive the husband after nikah if he cannot afford the mahar?
Remember when we were in Pakistan, there in Newtown Madrasa, that time it was called Newtown. Nowadays the name is changed. It's called Binuri Town. If you go to Iraq, where we've been in 2000 with Allah's mercy, Adam and Fadli Rabbi. So Imam Abu Hanifa, Rahimahullah, where he's buried, you must remember that area, that town, city now is called A'zamiya. And I have a great book, Tarikhul A'zamiya. So it's a wonderful book, especially for the Hanafi scholars and so forth and students. So anyway, so when you make tahqiq and research, the name was not Azamiya. After Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah passed away, then remember that the people said his one title and laqab was Al-Imamul Azam. So therefore they named that place Azamiya. You see? So Hazrat bin Nuri rahimahullah, I was there in 74, 75, 76. In 77, Hazrat passes away. You understand? Hazrat Mu'allama Muhammad Yusuf bin Nuri. We went by Umrah, everything with Hajj, mashallah. 74, Umrah, 75, Hajj also. Allah's fadl, Allah's mercy. So anyway, so Hazrat, he was a great, great scholar of Hadith especially. Hazrat, he was one of the special students of Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahimahullah. So his madrasa was called Madrasa Arabiya Islamiya. He always used to say, okay, I don't want big names, I want the smallest name. Ismail Ikhlas be here. You see the sincerity. So the Madrasa Arabiya Islamiya. The town, Newtown. And the play, after he passed away, they changed Binuri Town, you know, in honor of Sheikh Hazrat Allama Binuri Rahimahullah. Right. So why I'm telling you all this here, this is in Karachi. So normally on Fridays off day, we get one day off per week. So then the nikah used to take place normally after Asr, sometime after Jummah, but mostly after Asr. So we used to wait there, and many a time Hazrat Maulana Ihtishamulak Tanvi used to come. Now Maulana Ihtishamulak Tanvi was known as Khatib of Pakistan, you know, the orator of Pakistan. And when he used to read, so 1 hour lecture he used to give, Jummah lectures, standing. You're over 80 years old, you know, and he would stick. And I went 4 or 5 years consecutively to his masjid, Jacob Line. So to listen to his Jummah lecture, then he used to read Quran, all Tarannum Kesat, you know, tune it up. Then he read poetry, Rumi ne farmaya, and Iqbal ne farmaya, and Akbar al Abadi ne farmaya, and you know, wonderful, wonderful. So sometime he used to give a talk, not always, sometime, on nikah or something, a short talk. And then he performed the nikah. Then the mahar, they mentioned lakho, you understand? They say that 50 lakh, and they say 20 lakh, and the lakh means 100,000, you understood? 1 lakh is 100,000, 1 lakh is 100,000. So this lakh is 1 million. Always remember that 10 lakh is 1 million. So they say this lakh, 50 lakh, and I used to wonder, so that these mortars, they mention all this year, that in the nikah, do they really pay? Then we were very, very frightened initially, you know, we couldn't really ask questions. But then we had 1-2 teachers like Hazrat Mufti Abdul Salam Sahib, my beloved teacher, you know. So he taught us privately, me and Hafiz Ismail Pirbai, day in PE. So then we had good opportunity to ask lot of questions, and he used to love it when we used to ask questions. So anyway, so we said, Hazrat, yeah, Joseph, these people mentioned this lakh and this lakh, and it's like 5 million and 10 million. They pay all this amount. You say koi bhi nahi deta hai. You understand? That hardly anyone pays that amount. Thus, they just mention here in the nikah to impress the people. Then when they alone with their wife, they say, "Bibi, isko maaf kar do. Hum aada denge, ek sulus denge, ek tihai denge." So bichari, what the wife can do? You see? So you must remember, so in Pakistan, India, you will find this. To impress the people, they will mention millions. But when it comes to the actual payment, they don't pay. That's haram, that. Absolutely haram. See again, go to Surah 4 and verse number 4. وَآتُ النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْلَ فَإِنْ تِبْنَ لَكُمْ شَيْءٍ. So if the wife, she willingly, without you making big eyes, without you intimidating her, and so forth and so on, she says, "Darling, this mahar is so much, no, just give me half, give me quarter," willingly. So she's akila, she's sane, she's baligha, and she's sane, she's mature, and she did it bitibil qalb. Tibil qalb means wholeheartedly. There's no duress, there's no coercion. And bring the hadith of Mishkat Sharif, that authentic hadith, la yahillu malu mri'in muslimin illa bitibil qalbin minhu. You see the word tibil qalb? It's not halal, the wealth, the assets, the property of any Muslim person until unless it was given to you wholeheartedly. That you can't be intimidating. She just got married, now you come and make big eyes and you are rolling up your sleeves and all these things here, so say better big maaf for something. And so that what the people are doing, Pakistan, India and other countries, where it is like coercion and where they are forcing, compelling the wife to do that, all that is totally haram. Then why did you mention this? So I gave you my example. We just went with a van. We just paid 41 rand. Finish and clear. What you have to impress people for? Khairul muhur aysaruhu. The best mahar is the one, you must remember, that is little bit. So open Musnad Ahmad and all that. You will find this type of ahadith. You will find sometimes different words, but the essence, the meaning is the same. So you must remember this kind. So just to impress people, but then we don't follow through. So that is wrong, it's haram, that is not permissible. Yes, if the wife deliberately, intentionally, she thinks now this husband, so see mahar, you get ajilan and ajilan. Ajilan with the ayin, it means that cash, now immediately. You see, we always buy, when I have to perform nikah, I make one to joke for them. First of all, before we start the whole, you know, khutbah and sermon, so I ask the brother, "Your pulse rate is all right, bhai, or is rising now?" So you can see the guy is nervous, like, you know. And then second thing, I tell him, "Where's the mahar? I want to see, like, you know, that you're not making some gabgal business, you know, student is a proper coin, there's not some spasa coin or something." We tell the wakil to check it up. So sometimes the wakil say they paid it already, he's already with the house. I said, then it's all right. So very good like that. So sometimes it's ajilan. So it is immediately cash they must pay, the money or the jewelry or gold or whatever they are giving. Second scenario is ajilan, with the alif, with the hamza. Defer the mahar, that he will pay after 1 month, after 6 months, after this. In Cape Town, and that this is famous, you understood? So the hubby gets married, I'm speaking of pre-COVID, before this COVID crazy thing came in, the pandemic. It's not a pandemic, it's all pandemic. Anyway, so you must remember that they used to always meaning is very famous, like Cape Town. You say, "Oh, say, excellent, at Itro, I'll get married with you. You must take me for Hajj. You must take me for Umrah." So the wife, she agrees. You know, then you find the guy, he don't take her. Oh, the divorce. So the amount that it will cost for Umrah or Hajj, he must pay her that amount in cash. You see? So that is how it works. So you get sometime deferred mahar also. Mahar with a mu'ajjal, with a hamza, with a alif. And ajilan. And sometime it is ajilan. So if now the mahar is given to her, everything. She took possession on her own, without coercion, without duress. She says, you know what, you just take half back, it's all right, this is enough for me. So then it's permissible. But most cases nowadays, it doesn't happen like that. Therefore, I'm elaborating and explaining this in detail.
Mufti Saab, if a wife says that you just read for me a certain portion of Quran every day, and that's the mahar.
Remember that this is another masla. It's a big masla, this. The masla is aqallul bahar. Is there a thing like minimum mahar in Islam? Hanafis say yes. So we ask the Hanafis what it is. They say, La mahara aqal min ashrati darahim. It's a hadith, but the hadith is weak. So there's kalam on it and long discussion. But anyway, the Hanafis quote it and that. So Hanafis will say, you must remember that you must pay like nowadays 350 rand, 400 rand. It also fluctuates and so forth. So you must remember that is what the Hanafis say. So it will be 10 dirhams, okay? So that is, so you will say that now they just say 400 rand, okay? Just a round figure. So that is Hanafis. Then you come to the minimum, this is. And then they come to the Malikis, so that is like one third of the Hanafis. So you say 135 rand, for example. So that is the Maliki school. Then you come to the Shafi Hanbali, they say, hey, there's nothing like minimum in that. You can give mahar whatever you want. You can give it in cash, you can give it in kind, you can give it in khidma and whatever. So her wife told the husband, darling, you get married to me, but you must teach me Surah Yasin. You must teach me, and his name is Yasin, for example. Oh, Habi Yasin, you must teach me Surah Yasin, you see. So he got very happy. So every day he teaches the one ayat or whatever. It's not necessary now, every day, I'm just giving example. So he's not paying anything. So is that permissible? Yes. According to Shafi, Sambalis, that is permissible. Provided both parties reach that amicable and mutual agreement. So that's fine. According to Shafi, Sambalis, Hanafis, Maliki say no. That is not permissible. But the hadith, many places you will find like that. The Sahabi didn't have much, so he said, nah, I'll teach her some Quran. So they say, fine. So you happy, she's happy. Mia bibi razi to kya kare kazi. You'll understood. So in a case like that, so what must they do? So you must remember that will be permissible. Or, for example, one is teaching them Quran. So you can add on that. That is say, okay, I will teach you one hadith every day. You understand? Or I will teach you Riyadu Salihin. So whether it takes 1 year, 5 years, or 10 years, so both parties agree, it's fine. So no problem. But this is according to Shafi'is and Shafi'is and Hanbalis. So I used to give example there in Darul Newcastle. I say, as your flow, that your wife tells you that every day or every weekend you must wash the car and clean the garden. That is your mahar. And you agree, so you have to do that every week. You understood? You must clean the garden and you must wash the car. So you must remember that will be permissible according to Shafi'is and Hanbalis. Remember that.
Mufti Saab, the last question is, if non-Muslims accept Islam, do they have to pay mahar?
Okay, yeah, there are 2-3 different scenarios. Like today, let's go to that, mashallah, we'll come to that now in the last 3-4 minutes. So now this couple, that they were Mr. Tom, right? And the lady, Mrs. Mary. So you must remember that they are non-Muslim name. So Tom and Mary, right? So you must remember. So now they want to embrace Islam and so forth. So what's the story regarding nikah, regarding mahar and so forth? So in a case like that, where this couple, that they belong to the Hindu faith, Christian faith, Buddhist faith, Jewish faith, whatever, but they underwent some form of ceremony. So whether in the church or whether in the temple or in a synagogue or wherever, or in the court, so you must remember, so or civic center or hall or whatever. But there was some form of ceremony, and then they got married and so forth. So, and maybe now they got children. So Islam will say they are embracing Islam is accepted, and that nikah, not nikah, that marriage, let's call it, of that time there, is valid for them. What is the wisdom of this? The wisdom is this. There is no sense we tell them you become Muslim, but in the process all your children will be harami children, illegitimate. You see the wisdom of it now. So the wisdom is, as long as some form of ceremony took place, so in their religion whatever, and now they embrace Islam, so now that marriage is valid, and we don't have to perform a new marriage. We got it now? So remember. So there's no question of mahar and all these type of things. That is the, but now today we got a modern society. They live in lovers. You must remember that. The boy and girl, they just stay together, check in, lovers, and they're making children also. All haram children. So in a case like that, remember, where there was no ceremony, there was nothing like that and so forth. So then we will perform a nikah, and we will tell them to pay the mahar, and they must agree whatever the mahar. Oh, you the Mawlana, the Imam, Sheikh, Mufti, you pay the mahar, like I told you I have to do sometimes. So you must remember that. And then you, and the children, where they just live in lovers, the lineage of those children will go to the mother. Yulhaqul waladu bil um. Because the illegitimate children, the bees. So remember that. That is the other scenario. And third scenario, they don't remember. Today people are a little mixed up, so then just perform nikah and all these things, and just to be on the safe side and so forth. So that is what Islam teaches. The last 2-3 minutes we got. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We thank Almighty Allah. We receive so many messages, and Mawlana Arafat received much more. Mashallah, Mawlana is busy, Lord, is all the messages. So that the children were found, they left them there at night somewhere, 10 o'clock in some township, and then those people contacted the police, and the police brought them around 11:30 to 11:45. MashaAllah, that the parents and the children all reunited. The children are in high spirits, and they are in good condition, MashaAllah, unharmed. They came back safe. So we think of Surah Yusuf, you know, how, remember, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, I mean, that was after 40 years, imagine. Anbiya, so the test is bigger, but imagine the parents, exactly 21 days, 3 weeks, what they went through, the grandparents. So it's only Allah's fazl, Allah's mercy, somebody's dua, and Allah Ta'ala reunited, mashallah, the parents and children. And I told them this morning, you parents, for the remainder of your life, make sure daily you read 2 rakat salatu shukr, and to the 4 flowers from 7 years old to 15, they also. And the lesson me and you must take, remember, in Surah Yusuf, Surah 12, verse 64, فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. He Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, you must remember, is خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا, the best of protector, and he is the most merciful one to show mercy. Then these brothers, husband, wife from Australia, white couple from Melbourne, they came to visit South Africa. They heard about South Africa, and it may be their leave time or what. Somehow they met some Muslim or whatever, and then they told them, you must listen to Arafat, Mawlana Arafat and AK and so forth. 4 o'clock in the morning they start, imagine non-Muslims, and they started listening. So I gave them my number. One day he contacted me. He said, I'm in Durban, and what must I do? So I told him, go by this masjid, those mosques, and that place and so forth, and they will help you out. They'll give you literature. He says he went to 1-2 places. They were not very helpful. They didn't give him much. So I told him, leave them, go to another. So they were very helpful, mashallah. Then they contacted our brother Ibrahim, you know, Anderson. He was a priest, and he embraced Islam, mashallah. So then they met, and he gave them a lot of motivation, inspiration. And today also he contacted me, our brother Ibrahim Anderson. So in that way there, now they're leaving today, tomorrow, tonight, something like that. So subhanallah, what they said that we want Islam. So imagine from Australia, Allah Ta'ala wrote that they will get hidayat here. And we, Allah Ta'ala, you such sinners as us, you must remember. So all this is the fadl, the grace, the mercy of Allah. So let me give you the programs and to hear the whole program again. So inshallah, between 3 and 3:30, you can listen to it this afternoon, inshallah. 12 o'clock news, inshallah, with Brother Yusuf Ali, 12 to 1, the seerah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Maulana Katani, that will be very interesting, inshallah, after the news. 1 o'clock adhan, and 5 past 1, the tafsir, to report back, not tafsir, today is Thursday. So report back trip to Durban, so what happened last week and all that, so it's a repeat program. 1:30 to 2, Surah Ra'ad, chapter 13, and verses 19 to 22. 2 to 3, Madrasa on A, Maulana Zaid Khan, 3 to 3:30, the repeat of this Q&A. So there you will hear about the Moti children and about our brother and sister embracing Islam, the couple from Australia. 3:30 to 4, so will be a Urdu lecture by Hazrat Mufti Sayyid Ahmad Palanpuri. So remember that, what will happen and so forth in future, meaning Akhirat and so forth. And then 4 to 5, the power of speech, Maulana Harun Abbas Umar, so the Imam of Spring of Beach, you passed away, Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. So that's between 4 to 5. Then 5 to 7, Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30, the translation of last week's khutbah, the repeat. 7:30 to 8 will be Maulana Yunus Patel, Rahimahullah's advices. 8 to 10, Maulana Arafat, Maulana Salim Karim, the discussion. And 10 to 11, lessons from Surah Waqiyah by Maulana Ridwan Kaji, inshallah. Barakallahu fiqh. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We say Jazakumullah to Mufti Sap and to all our listeners. We add on for the news now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.